You know, when I look at you guys and I just think of just that last statement, and it's so true that God Himself is a God who He equips us, He ministers to us, He teaches us, He prepares us. Even you guys making the time to be here is you're wanting to learn, you're wanting to grow, but also God is preparing you to help others, you know. He equips you to equip others. There's a beautiful scripture out of 2 Timothy chapter, has anyone got it? 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. Who's got that for me? And if you've got it, you could say, Manny, I've got it. And I'd love you to read it. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. Have you got it? Okay. What does it say? 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2.
And the instructions which you have heard from me, along with many witnesses, transmit and entrust as a deposit, a reliable and faithful.
Oh my, you're reading from the Amplified, eh?
Yeah. Should I read King James?
No. Who's got a NIV, yeah. Just a, has anyone, have you got it there? NLT. That's okay. That's fine.
You have heard me teach things that have been confirmed by many reliable witnesses. Now teach these truths to other trustworthy people who will pass them on to others.
Amen. So we learn these things. They're entrusted to us so that we ourselves can be trustworthy servants and pass them on to others. You know, this is the beauty. And even during my course and walk of life, I've learned many things, but I just also like to pass it on to others. And you know, one of the scriptures I want to go to, the first one I'd like us to go to the book, and I'm using the NLT, which is the New Living Translation. You got your Bibles? I'd like you to open to Isaiah chapter 8. Isaiah chapter 8. I'd like to look at the scripture. Isaiah chapter 8 and verses 11 through to verse 13. And it says this, okay? Are you there? Isaiah chapter 8, from verse 11 through to verse 13. And it says this, "The Lord has said to me in the strongest terms, do not think like everyone else does. Do not be afraid that some plan conceived behind closed doors will be the end of you." Isn't that quite something, eh? Don't be afraid. Don't be fearful. Don't be afraid that some plan conceived behind closed doors will be the end of you. Verse 13 is the one, the key verse. "Do not fear anything except the Lord Almighty. He alone is the Holy One. If you fear Him, you need fear nothing else." Can I repeat that? Do not fear anything except the Lord Almighty. He alone is the Holy One. If you fear Him, you need fear nothing else. And I'll never forget a statement that I've, you know, I quote myself, you know. The only fear that you and I should have, the only fear that you and I should have is the fear of the living God. And when we talk about fearing God, it's not something, don't picture God as a God who's got a big stick and wants to beat you. But it's a sense of reverence. It's a sense of worship and awe and respect towards Him, you know. It's very healthy for us as people to have a holy fear of God. The Bible says that the wicked, there is no fear of God. So they just go ahead and they just go and do their things and they just do wicked things and they go and sin. The fear of God prevents you and I from doing things that are going to upset and hurt Him, you know. It's a very, very good thing. The Bible teaches a lot about it. But the key thing that I wanted us to understand here is that the only person that you and I must fear is the Lord God Almighty. So I'm going to talk about this, Brad. He said, "Man, you just share on stuff." But I want to share on, I'm going to touch on this aspect of freedom from fear. Freedom from fear. And there are two particular areas that we're going to look at this afternoon. We're going to look at the consequences of fear. We're going to look at what fear does, you know, if it runs uncontrolled in our hearts and lives. And then the second part, we're going to look at the how-tos, how you and I can be free. So these are very practical things, and I'd like us to go through them. There's a passage, and you can just listen, but in Revelation chapter 3, verse 7 through to 8, it says this, the words, it says, "He opens doors," Jesus, "He opens doors, and no man can shut them. And it says, and I have opened a door for you that no man can shut. God is a God who opens doors for us. You don't mind me just walking and talking if I'm doing this. God is a God who opens doors, and He's God, the God that shuts the doors. And He says, I've opened a door for you that no man may shut. And we're going to look at a situation in the children with the children of Israel where God Himself had opened up a door for them. God had offered them the promised land. And it was something that was riveted, something that gripped them, friends, that prevented them from going into all that God had for them. And it was called fear. You know, when God opens a door for us, like there's a beautiful door that's open for us here. What prevents you and I from going through that door is fear. You know, fear of the unknown. But we're going to see, friends, the power of God's word. And we need to be a people that are that saturate ourselves with the Word of God to cleanse and to wash away the fears that come to us on a daily basis. You know, because fear is something it's a terrible thing, because fear also is something that will prevent faith. When there's fear, there's no faith. This is pretty, you know, isn't she delightful? You know what I mean? You know, God wants us to be, you know, without faith, it is impossible to please Him. God doesn't want you and I to be riveted. You know, we don't enter into our inheritance. We don't enter into some of the promises. We don't enter into some of the good things that God Himself has for us. Even through the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're going to touch on this aspect of, you know, because I'm going to just share even some of my own stories, but there's a scripture we're going to look at it later on, where He says that we are sons and daughters of the living God. And He says we've been adopted into His family. And God says something like this: I don't want you to come before me like, listen to the word, fearful, cowering slaves. You and I and our relationship with God is a relationship of sons and daughters. And you and I must come before Him not like fearful, cowering slaves. He's the God that delivers us from all of our fears. And there's all kinds of fears. We're going to touch on that. And maybe you can even add to some of those fears. But don't come before Him as a fearful, cowering slave. Come before Him as a son and a daughter of the living God. You know, this facility, when I come to this building, you know, and I don't often come here because I travel quite a bit. But you know, when we were building this particular building, this is the second phase where the children meet. You know where the children meet? That was the first phase of the building. And then there was the second phase, this big one. And on top, like I said this morning, God said, no bonds, no overdraft facilities. You just got to trust Him. And I'm telling you something. It's not easy. You know, it's not easy. You got to trust Him. And on top of it, it took 6 years. 6 years. It didn't happen just like this. So this building was progressing. But it sat like a white elephant. In a sense, there was no progress happening. There was an electrical, the electricals had to be done to this whole building. Now, when they do the electricals, there's what they call these conduits. They're piping that goes underneath concrete. It goes into the walls. It goes into the roof and all that kind of stuff. But the commitment for the electrical contract was R1 million. We had nothing. Nothing. So I'm walking through this building, and that was stalling. That was holding back the rest of the building. It had to be done. So I'm walking through this thing, and I'm, when I use the word stewing, I'm complaining. You know, as if you guys don't do this, you know, I'm saying, God, you know, I'm just, you know, I'm going and I'm just complaining to God. I heard His voice so clearly, and He says to me, Manny, He says, you are coming to me like a fearful, cowering slave, Rudy. You are coming to me like a fearful, cowering slave. I want to tell you something. Son, you are not a fearful, cowering slave. You are a son. And He spoke to me like this, and He said, I want you to walk like a son. I want you to talk like a son. I want you to act like a son. And I want you to behave like a son. When I say a son, that includes your daughters. Please understand that. So I don't want you. And He says, I want you to make a decision, Stephen, like a son. I want to tell you something. Faye, when He spoke to me, faith arose within me. I have a statement, and I don't know who. There was a friend of mine that said the statement while I'm talking about the story. But before I go on, I wrote the statement down. He says this: when we think small, we not only shrink ourselves, but we diminish the image of God in us. I'm going to repeat this. When we think small, we not only shrink ourselves, but we diminish the image of God in us. We are made in God's image and have God in us. Yo, that is powerful. Having God in us, in the person of the Holy Spirit. Then it says this, he said this, think like God's sons and daughters. Yeah, child of God, we're going to touch on this area. You've got to think like sons and daughters of God. Think big. Think brave. Think bold. Think blessed. So God said, Manny, I want you to make a decision like a son. So we had, in that week, I had the time with the elders. And on the Friday was going to be, well, we're going to have a meeting with the electrical contractors. We needed to go ahead. And God said, I want you to go ahead. But there was nothing in the bank. In the building for nothing. So I said to the elders, and you know, it's amazing. Brad was one part of the eldership at that time, eh? He's young and, you know, just, you know, when Brad was wanting, he wanted cake sales and golf days. I said, we're going to do no cake sales. We're going to do no golf days. We're just going to trust Jesus, boy. But in any case, so we go to this, we've got this meeting. Hi, guys. Are you going to the... You're going upstairs. That's where you're going to go. You're going to go upstairs. You go through the hall. You go through the hall. There's a flight of stairs that take you up there. And they're waiting for you, hey?
Of course.
Yeah. And they've got some cold water for you, but they've got no biscuits. The biscuits are, yeah. But enjoy it up there, hey? So we go to this, the Friday was the you got these electrical contractors. And we had to press the button. We had to give the go-ahead. And I remember I said, God said to me, Manny, make a decision like a son. I want you to walk like, I was so intimidated. You know, intimidation is something, you get so fearful, you get so afraid. One of the things that we face a lot, child of God, all of us, is the fear of man. We are very fearful of very competent and capable and very powerful people. This was electrical contractors. So they spoke about this thing's going to be a million, and they broke it up into stages or phases. The one was going to be 250, another one's 250, another 200, whatever. But in any case, and at the end of that meeting, we shook hands and we agreed. But there's nothing in the building fund, boy. That was a Friday night. I'm telling you. I'm just being honest with you. I was terrified. The Saturday comes, someone anonymous, I don't know who, put something of 250,000 rand into the building fund, friends. Kick-started that thing. And I'll tell you something, friends. And on top of it, the electrical contractor, the two sons were in the life of the church. But the electrical contractor wasn't a believer. And I said to Jesus, please, Lord, for your name's sake, I want us to honor the commitments. When they do the job and the invoices come, do you understand? I want to trust you, Jesus, that the money's there. Because I don't want there to be a testimony. Those guys do not pay. Do you understand that story? I always wanted to be a testimony. I want this to be a foreign on. God never, ever delayed, friends. We finished that thing and managed to finish the building and stuff. It went on. So we're going to look at this thing about, you know, what fear, in a sense, like the consequences of fear. And then we're going to look at how to overcome fear. I don't want us, even as I'm, just before I'm going into this, I don't want us to give in to our fears at all. There's a story in 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 18, and it spoke about a man called David. David was a man after God's own heart, and David had a brave heart, and he had a strong heart. And it says this, the son of Jesse is a talented harp player. Not only that, he is brave, and he is strong, and he has good judgment. He is also a fine-looking young man, and the Lord is with him. So now I want us to look at a passage. If you've got your Bibles, will you open to me with me, please, to this book of Numbers. Numbers chapter 13. Numbers chapter 13. And I'd like to read from round about verse 25. You got it there? Numbers chapter 13. Numbers chapter 13. And I'm picking up from verse 25 through to the end of the chapter. And this is the report of the scouting. This is the time the Bible says there are 12 leaders, there are 12 elders, and they have gone across into the promised land. And it starts off, after exploring the land for 40 days, the men returned to Moses, Aaron, and the people of Israel at Kadesh in the wilderness of Paran. They reported to the whole community what they had, notice something here, what they had seen with their eyes. Very important, because I'm going to come back to something like this. So these guys, 40 days they spy the land, they come back, they give the report. And it says they reported to the whole community of Israel. I'm going to tell you, just for the sake of numbers, the whole community of Israel at that stage would have been about 2 million people. 2 million people that communicated to them what they had seen and showed them the fruit that they had taken from the land. Verse 27, this was the report to Moses. We arrived in the land you sent us to see, and it is indeed a magnificent country, a land flowing with milk and honey. Here is some of the fruit as its proof. Verse 28, this is a key. If you've got a pen there, I don't want to tell you to mark your Bible, but if you've got a pen there, and in verse 28 they said, but, there's this big but. Because I'm going to touch on that word, but. It says, but the people, look at the report that is, but the people living there are powerful. And their cities and their towns are fortified and very large. We also saw the descendants of Anak who are living there. Notice the word saw, child of God. They saw the descendants of Anak who are living there. Verse 29, the Amalekites live in the Negev, and the Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites live in the hill country. The Canaanites live along the coast of the Mediterranean Sea and along the Jordan Valley. Verse 30, now notice there were two guys. You're more than welcome to come, hey? Hey, it's so great having you. And verse 30 says this, so there were 12 leaders, but there were two guys that were completely different. There was a guy called Caleb, and who was the other guy? Help me here. Joshua, you've got it. So Caleb tried to silence the people as they stood before Moses. Listen to Caleb's heart here, child of God. He says, let's go at once to take the land, he said. We can certainly conquer it. Notice what's coming out of his mouth, because I'm going to touch on these aspects. Or what comes out of our mouth is giving it up. What we see with our eyes. We've got to be very careful what we see with our eyes and what's coming out of our mouths. So Caleb says, come on guys, we can do this, we can certainly do it. Verse 31 says, but the other men, that's the other 10 leaders who had explored the land with him answered, we can't. So yes, Caleb who says, notice, if you take your notes, he says, we can. The other 10 says, we can't. I want to tell you something, child of God. The Bible says we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us in ourselves. That's why there's a constant reliance upon the Lord Jesus Christ and the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Apart from Him, we can do nothing, child of God. Even as I'll touch on you, sometimes my first journeys into the region where we're going, into the Great Lakes, this year, November, this year, is my 10th year into that region. But child of God, when they told me at the beginning, before we went into that region, initially, friends, it was scary. They said to me, Manny, we want you to see the movie called Hotel Rwanda. I said, I'm not going to see the movie called Hotel Rwanda. Why? Because I did not want fear to grip me. A lovely pastor friend of mine said, Manny, the Time magazine has published an article about the Northeast Congo, Timothy, and it says that there were 5 million people that have been killed in that region. Do you want to read the article? I said, I'm not going to read the article, boy. Why? Because I don't want fear to grip me. And I learned something, child of God. The safest place to be is in the center of God's will. The safest place to be. And I said right at the beginning, friend, the only fear that you and I must have is the fear of the living God. And that's why you and I are going to see later on when Paul says to young Timothy, he says, man, he says, God, help me. Yeah, God has not given us a spirit of, help me, of fear, but a spirit of power, love, and of a sound mind. One of the proofs of the Holy Spirit, I'm going to repeat this, one of the proofs of the Holy Spirit is a spirit of fearlessness. Child of God, because you and I will get gripped by the media, what the media has to say to us, that voice is coming to us all the time. What the economic situation, that voice will hit us. You know, family backgrounds, maybe you're, I don't know, you know, maybe it could be some parents. He'd say, you're good for nothing. You will never make it in life, you know. So there's just this thing of fear. What others have said, what others, you know. Child of God, God wants to set us free in the name of Jesus. But this aspect of we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. I tell you, I stand before you. You know, I mean, this year is my 41st year as a Christian. I'm not saying, I'm with you as well, friends. My life has also been gripped with fear. I still have fear. That's why on a daily basis, friends, I've got to put that fear under the blood of Jesus Christ, you know. And I've got to counteract the fear. I've got to wash over the fear with the power of God's word to us. It is so powerful. But we're going to see this later on. Then it says in verse 31, let me pick it up again. But the other men who had explored the land with him answered, we can't go against them. They are too strong. They are stronger than we are. Let God, the Holy Spirit, speak to us. Verse 32, look at this. This is terrifying. So they spread discouraging reports among the land, among the Israelites. They spread. Because I'm going to repeat this. You and I are going to see, friends, that if we don't counteract that fear, if we don't stop it, fear will spread, friends. It's so cancerous. It's like a cancer. It will just continue to spread. In this situation, it spread so violently that 2 million people did not enter into the inheritance. Fear spreads, boy. So we've got to watch what we say with our mouth. Don't let fear spread. Cut that thing off in Jesus' name. And then it goes on to say, says, the land we explore will swallow us up. Listen to the language that's coming out of your mouth. Your mouth, my mouth, your mouth, keeps us up, friends. Tells us what's inside of our hearts. Will swallow us up who go to live there. All the people, look at it, says, we saw with our eyes. Angie, yeah, Angie, are you right there? Sorry, Angie, I'm in Numbers chapter 13. Numbers chapter 13. And now I'm right in Numbers chapter 13, verse 33. Numbers chapter 13, verse 33. And it says this, we even saw, notice again your eyes, child of God. Watch your eyes, boy. Watch your eyes. I tell you something. I had a message, you know, I had many operations on my eyes. You've got to believe me. I had laser treatments. I had all kinds of operations with my eyes when I was younger. And honestly, when I go to the optometrist, they tell me, they used to say these words, what do you see? What do you see? So there was a message I preached. To such a powerful message. And the message, the title of the message was, what do you see? I'll never forget. You know what I did is, when I preached this message, I had all kinds of glasses. I had this kind of a glass, which was a clear. This kind of a glasses is what they call multifocal. So it helps me to see you and also to read. So I don't have to take off and on. So I had this kind of a glasses. I had my sunglasses. I had different kinds of glasses, you see. You know, what do you see? And even if I had to ask you the question, what do you see? You know what God told me? What comes out of your mouth tells me what you see. You know, it tells me God's word is so powerful. What comes out of His mouth tells me what He sees, child of God. You know, what do you and I see? I'm thinking, as I'm standing here, and I didn't want to do this. But Abram, I mean, he's a man. Friends, he's got no kids, nothing. And God takes him out one night into the night sky, out in the night, and he shows him the night sky, and he says something like this to God. God says something like this to him. He says, can you see the stars? He says, I can see the stars. I'm just paraphrasing. He says, count the stars if you can. 1, 2, 3, 4. Let me count again. 1, 2, 3, 4. He could not count the stars. And then God said something like this to him. He said, so shall your descendants be. God said it. It came out of His mouth. What does God see, friends? God saw you and God saw me, friends. The lineage, Jesus Christ, through Abraham, He was seeing you. He was seeing me. Even when they had no kids, when there was no Isaac, friends, God said, you're going to have a son of your own. Sarah wasn't pregnant. Friends, those Abram's going on. You've got to read the language of the Bible. He's 99. Sarah's 90. And he's no kids, friends. Oh, man. You know, have you ever seen a person who's 99? And another person who's 90? Friends, how is this going to happen? But God said you're going to have a son. That means God had to cause such spark and such chemistry happening between the two of them that they were going to do it. You know what I mean? Even when they looked at each other, you must read the language of Sarah. She says, my husband, he's good for dead. You know what I mean? There's nothing alive in him. But God is a God. I love the passage. God says, He gives life to the dead and calls things that are not as though they were child of God. So you've got to listen to His words rather than to the words of man. You know, what is He saying to you? Because what He says to you and I, He says, man, you can do it, my son, my daughter. The language of ourselves, when we look at our own situation, you say, I can't do it. I'm good for nothing. I can never. I mean, even when Dawn and I, this next month, we're going to celebrate our 34th anniversary. 34-year anniversary. I lived in flats for 23 years of my life. Flats for 23 years of my life. You know, when I got married, there was a guy who gave us a plant, a little plant like this, a little pot plant like this, and said, when you're in a home of your own, you can plant this into your garden. I said, the natural response is, this is a pipe dream. You're crazy. You know what I mean? I don't know if you understand what I'm saying, you know. You've got only a salary of 900 rand. I know it's relative, friends. But I just want to share, we had zip nothing. Some of you have been to our home, you know. I'm telling you, boy, God has been incredibly good. But in any case, what do you see? And so as I say here in verse 33, we even saw the giants there, the descendants of Anak. Now notice this, it says that we felt like little grasshoppers next to them. Child of God. Child of God. You and I have got to know Jesus, because as we get to know Him, we get to know who we are in Him. That's so powerful. As you get to know Him, so you get to know who you are in Christ. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. I think of young Gideon when he was a young man and God said to him, you mighty man of valor, you can do it. We felt like grasshoppers next to them. And that's what we look like to them. So let's go through it. I want to touch on these aspects of the consequences of fear. What fear can do to us if we let it rule us. But I don't want fear to rule our lives. Number one is fear separates us from God. That's Numbers chapter 13 verse 27. I'm not going to go through these scriptures. I'm just going to quote them. But fear separates us from God. In verse 28 it says, But that word but separates us from God and His power. How intimidated are you and I, friends? But the people, they said, but the cities, but the towns and the giants. Fear separates us from God. Number two is fear suppresses or stops the power of God working through us. Fear suppresses or stops the power of God working through us. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 6 through to 7, and I quoted this earlier on, it says, Paul talking to Timothy says, this is why I remind you, fan into flame the gift, the spiritual gifts God has given you when I laid my hands upon you. Isn't that powerful? That through the laying on of hands, there were gifts, there was impartation of gifts that were given to Timothy. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power and of love and of sound mind. And as I said earlier on, one of the proofs of the Holy Spirit is a spirit of fearlessness. Number three. That's 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 6 through to verse 7. And that is under the heading there. The second one is fear suppresses or stops the power of God working through us. Number three, fear affects our sight. That's Numbers chapter 13, and we read that. Verses 31 through to verse 33. Fear affects our sight. So child of God, this is very, very important. And I've got written here, going to Rwanda the first time in 2006, just five of us. Child of God. I said when we had five, John Livados, who's teaching the course up there, he was one of the guys. He was on my deacon team. There was myself as an elder and another guy who was an elder. There were two deacons and one business guy. There were five guys. And I said something like this as we went across to this place for the first time, Rwanda, in the year 2006, November 2006. And it was something that I was taught. And I said to these guys, guys, I want to tell you something. We're going to see giants. We're going to see fortified walls. We're going to see problems. We're going to see this. We're going to see that. We're going to see all kinds of things. But I'm asking you, please, if you or I come back from this trip and we give back an evil report, I said, you'll never come on another trip with me ever again. That's why it's very critical. We just don't take anyone on trips with us, child of God. Very important, boy. You've got to take people that are accountable within the life of the local church. They've got to be known in the life of the local church. Because we can't, sometimes I go to regions, friends, we say we're going to take no ladies into this region. Because, friends, I don't want fear to grip you. We go in as a team. I was even thinking of my friend who's sitting there looking after Reed there. His name is called Chris. This is Chris's second time coming to the Great Lakes. But when Chris came with me about 2 years ago, was it Chris 2 years ago? Last year already. Wow. Last year, we're going into Burundi. And I tell you something, it was an easy boy. And I want to say Tracy, but I say it now. I'm telling you, I was very concerned about Chris. I would also, I say, Chris, are you okay? Are you okay? Twice there were grenades thrown around. I mean, it was tense. The nights, late evenings, friends, the city was dispersed. Everyone was running into their homes to get away, friends. Hardly anyone on the streets. It was a tense time, you know. But we went, friends, because God wanted us to go. And God placed a message in our hearts for those beautiful people. You know what I mean? So, don't let fear affect our sight. The sight of the land. Verse 32 says, the land we explore will swallow us up. Will swallow up anyone who lives there. Have you seen the giant? I love this one. It's 1 Samuel 17, verse 24 to 25. Is the story about, there's this guy called, what's his name? Help me, Lord Jesus. What's his name? It's called 1 Samuel chapter 17, 24 to 25. This is the story about the children of Israel, and there's this giant called Goliath. You remember that story? And it says in verse 24 of 1 Samuel chapter 17, it says, as soon as the Israelites saw him, they began to run away in fright, in fear. And they say this, have you seen the giant? I want to tell you something, child of God. There are giants all around us. Their men were asking, he comes out each day to challenge Israel. And have you heard what the huge reward the king has offered to anyone who will kill him? You know? So the people, they said, have you seen the giant? There are giants all around us. Also part of fear affecting our sight, it says, the way they saw the people affected them. All the people we saw were huge, child of God. And these people could be any kind of circumstance that you and I face with in life. Keep your eyes upon Jesus, child of God. It's very important that you and I see Him. Let Him be the one who's huge, you know. But sometimes, friends, we take our eyes off Him. You know, I've been talking a lot also with people about lessons from a storm. When Peter was walking on the water, he kept his eyes on Jesus. But as soon as he took his eyes off Jesus, what happened is he began to sink, child of God. And child of God, you and I must fix our eyes upon Jesus. You know, he's so consistent. He's so trustworthy. Also, friends, the way they saw themselves, they say that we felt like little grasshoppers next to them. Friends, we felt like, you know how small a little grasshopper is? That's how we felt. Child of God, when I'm looking at you today in Jesus Christ, I'm talking to royalty. I'm talking to blood-bought sons and daughters of the living God. I want to tell you something, friends. You are not a copy. You are an original. I want you to know, when I look at each and every one of you, you are so unique. Not one of you are the same. I want to tell you in the name of Jesus Christ, never ever compare yourself with someone else. You are unique. Never compare and never compete. But compliment, oh yes, we must compliment one another. You are special to God. And sometimes, you know what happens in our Christian walk and life? We're wanting some gift that someone else has. Be content with what God has given to you. And that's why I love the picture of the language of the Bible. The Bible says Jesus is the head of the church. And the church is like a body. There's one body, yet there are many, many parts that make up that one body. Yet every part of the body is useful. There are parts of the body that you can see. Today, Manny is the mouth. You can see. But the parts, you know, the Bible talks that the parts that you cannot see. The Bible says God has given such importance to those parts so that there is a sense of equality within the body of Christ. God has given greater honor to those parts that you and I cannot see. And 5 years ago, friends, I had heart surgery. I'm telling you, there was a problem. My heart was blocked. You can't see my heart. But friends, if that thing wasn't sorted out, I would have been on my way singing with the angels. But I read a scripture. I read a scripture the other day, and I love it. The scripture. This is part of my Bible reading. You know, I don't know if you've ever read something like this, but it was beautiful. You know, and Paul was talking. Please, Lord Jesus, won't you help me to find it? Where was I reading, Lord? And Paul was talking about something. Yeah. Oh, Jesus, my Lord, help me to find it. Where was it? I was reading, I was in here in Philippians, and it says, you were saying something here. Paul was talking about, Jesus, where is it, guys? He was talking about, Paul was talking about he wanted to go back home, and but he said, it's far better for me to go home to be with Jesus, but he said, it's actually to your advantage that I actually stay. Where would that be? Oh, yeah, it is. Yeah, sorry. Verse 20 of Philippians chapter 1. Isn't that amazing? So I talk to him like this, you know. He says, Paul, he says here from verse 20, he says, for I live in eager expectation of hope that I will never do anything that will cause me shame, but that I always be bold for Christ. Oh, I like that statement. Be bold. You know, be strong. Be courageous, like God said to Joshua when he was going to take over the land, the promised land. Be strong and courageous. Five times God said, be strong, be courageous. You know that in Jesus Christ, you and I can be bold. Even the boldness that we have, we're still reverent. Is that word? There's a sense of still a respect for God, you know. And then he says this, and then he says something like this. He says, as I have been in the past, that my life will always be a life that will honor Christ, whether I live or die. Then verse 21, he says this, for me, living is for Christ, and dying is even better. Yet if I live, that means fruitful service for Christ. I really don't know which is better. I'm torn between two desires. Do you sometimes have that kind of stuff? Depending on the situation we're faced with, eh? If things are going well, I want to stay. If things are not going so well, Jesus, I want to go home. I don't know. He says, I'm torn between two desires. Sometimes I want to live, and sometimes I long to go to be with Christ. That would be far better for me, but it is better for you that I live. Isn't that beautiful language, huh? Wow. So don't see yourself as a grasshopper. And also, friends, verse 33 says, that is what we look like to them. Friends, that's the picture they had, that those people were seeing them as a little grasshopper. Number four, so don't let fear rule us, you know. Number four is fear triggers or sparks self-preservation and causes us to retreat. I'm going to repeat that. Fear triggers or sparks self-preservation and causes us to retreat. The passage I didn't read in Numbers was Numbers chapter 14, verses 3 to verse 4 and onwards. What was actually happening, the children of Israel were so overwhelmed by this that they said to Moses, listen to the language, they said, we want to go back where? Help me here. They want to go back to Egypt. So that's what happens. It triggers us to self-preservation. I want to go back to the safe place. I want to stay here. I don't want to go through this open door. Jesus said, I've opened a door for you. And no man's going to shut that door. Go through it, friends. Don't stay behind. Oh, man. Only by the power of the Holy Spirit can we do this. There's no going back for any one of us, child of God. You know? There's no going back for any one of us. You know? And so they chose leaders to go back to Egypt. How's that for you? Number six, friends. What I also spoke about in that point three, which I didn't touch on too much, I said fear affects our sight. But can I also say this, friends, that fear also affects our speech. I'm using these S's. Fear affects our sight, and fear also affects our speech. You know? Watch your tongue, child of God. So let me go back to this point five. Fear spreads. Numbers 13, verse 32. It started with 10 spies, and then millions of people did not enter into the inheritance. Number six, friends, we serve the things that we fear. We serve the things that we fear. When it came to King Saul, who was the king of Israel, this is a sad story. In 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 24, the Bible tells us that he was afraid of the people. He did what the people wanted him to do, friends, not what God wanted him to do. And it says this in 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 24. Then Saul finally admitted, "Yes, I have sinned. I have disobeyed your instructions and the Lord's command, for I was afraid of the people and did what they demanded." And God doesn't want you and I to bow down to our fears. There will be incredible consequences to that. But God doesn't want us to live there. Don't live in fear at all. But now let me just touch on that second part of how to overcome fear, freedom of fear. Okay, number one is we need to return to a right standing with God. We need to return to a right standing with God. Do you know what the first emotion man felt? Do you know what the first emotion man felt in Genesis chapter 3 verse 10? When what you call it, Adam and Eve had sinned. You know what happened? The Bible says they ran away from God. They went into hiding. And then God was looking for them. You know, he was looking for them because he enjoyed the kind of the fellowship and the relationship that he had. And they said in Genesis chapter 3 verse 10, it says, "And we were afraid." I was afraid. The first human emotion. Verse 9 says, "The Lord called to Adam, 'Where are you?' Verse 10, he replied, 'I heard you, so I hid. I was afraid because I was naked.'" Psalm 23 verse 4 says, "I will fear," help me here, "fear no evil, because you are close beside me. You are the Lord, my shepherd." Hebrews chapter 13 verse 5 is beautiful. Hebrews chapter 13 verse 5 and 6 says, "Stay away from the love of money." When I was talking a little bit about that this morning, I didn't actually share it. There's nothing wrong with money, child of God. The problem is the love of money. You know, God wants us to worship Him and use money to worship Him. But don't love money. But in any case, He says, stay away from the love of money. Be satisfied with what you have. God wants you and I to be content. And then this particular statement, in the light of what I've just said, we need to return to a right standing with God. Notice the word, "For God has said," not "man said." God has said, "I will never leave you. I will never forsake you." Child of God, you've got to take God at His word. You've got to let that wash over you. God said, not man, He said, "I will never leave you. I will never forsake you." Now, when you read that from the Amplified translation, the verse 5 part is powerful. It says it like this: "For He," God Himself, "has said, I will not in any way fail you, nor give you up, nor leave you without support. I will not in any degree leave you helpless, nor forsake, nor let you down, relax my hold on you. Assuredly not." And then verse 6 says, That is why I can say with confidence, "The Lord is my helper, so I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me?" So powerful. Psalm 91, you can read the whole of Psalm 91, but it's so beautiful. It says, "He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High." You know, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High. Caleb was a brave man. He himself said, "Come on, man, let's go at once." He said, "We can certainly conquer it." And so it goes. Number two, friends, we need to repent of our fears. This is, we're talking about freedom, the how to. We can experience freedom from our fears. We've got to recognize, friends, that fear is a sin and we must repent of it. Because, friends, we've got to treat it as not trusting God. As not trusting God. Fear is sinful. Not trusting God is putting the devil and God in the same team. Hebrews chapter 3 verse 12 says, "Be careful then, dear brothers and sisters, and make sure that your own hearts are not even unbelieving, turning you away from the living God." Number three, we need to recognize the fears in our own heart. We need to recognize the fears in our own heart. Now, I'm going to give you a little list, and maybe you can add to this little list. You know, when the Holy Spirit, you know, you say, Lord, show me some of the fears inside my own heart. I'm going to list some of them, and, you know, if maybe I haven't listed one of the ones that maybe you feel you have, write it down, you know. But I've got this thing here, the fear of the past. God wants to set us free from the fear of the past. Fear of the future. Some people, friends, they have an incredible fear of something that is still to come. The fear of failure. They don't want to try something out, do something because of the fear of failure. The fear of man. You know, what are they going to say? What are they going to do? Even when it comes to leadership, God doesn't want... He wants us to respect leaders, to honor the leaders. But please, child of God, don't fear man. You know, I'm coming back to that statement. The only fear we should have is, help me here, is the fear of God, child of God. You know, when I was called into ministry, I'll never forget, I had a fantastic job. And then the time, the church, because God used me with young people. And then they wanted me to come full time and to go to a Bible college. Now I had to give up work. I was giving up a secure job. And now it was going to Bible college and going full time, you know. And with reduced salary like you cannot believe. You know, that's also another thing, child of God. You know, just because, you know, we sometimes want to, you know, well, I'm going to take this position, but I need to have the financial security. I want to tell you something, child of God. If God says to you, go, I'm telling you something, friends, you trust Him. Don't let it be determined by money. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying, you know. Because I've had lots of people, young people, had the call of God all over them, but never pursued their dream and planting a church. You know why? Because of money. That's why I've often said to people, even when they come on trips, I say to them, you know, and they say, Manny, what's the cost going to be? So I give them a bit of the cost. But then I say to them, can I ask you please to put the cost aside? I want you to go to be with Jesus, and I want you to find out, does Jesus want you to go on the trip? That's different. I said, does Jesus want you to go on the trip? So they come back to me. I'm thinking of many cases, you know. They come back to me and they say, yeah, Jesus wants me to go on a trip. That's good. And then I have a statement like this. God's vision, you need to write this down. I know some of you guys are just looking at, but you're not going to remember it all. That's why it's good to have a notebook and a pen. Because I've taught friends, help you to remember something. God's vision, with God's vision, there will be God's provision. God's will, God's bill, God's way, God's pay. Hudson Taylor said, where God guides, God will help me, yeah? Provide, Stephen. What God ordains, God Himself will sustain. I remember the one time I think of how, because people often ask me the question, how come was it Brad and Sharissa to lead the church? I had five couples on this eldership team. More gifted than Brad and Sharissa. Much more older than Brad and Sharissa. How come it was them? God clearly told me. I don't want to go through the story. But I would take them on trips with me. You know, it's not just here in a building. You take them on the job training. There's an aspect of mentoring. There's an aspect of learning and growing. Even when you come across with, you know, Tracy, you release Chris with me. There's something that you learn on the job. You can never learn even around a table, like in a classroom setting. It's incredible. So I said to Brad the one time, and Sharissa, was as a church, we would cover their costs. And I said to them, I would want you to trust God to come with us to Burundi. But you're going to go through to Burundi from Johannesburg. You're going to go to Rwanda to Kigali. Kigali is the capital of Rwanda. And then from there, we're going to fly to Kigali. And then from Kigali, we're going to fly to Bujumbura, which is the capital of Burundi. I said, as a church, we will cover your costs to Kigali. You see, it's so nice and easy if the church could cover all the costs for everything. But I don't try to do that. I encourage Brad. I said, even people that are coming on trips, even Rudy or Adonku, whoever it is, don't pay for all their things, boy. It's too easy. It's too easy. The church can, even as a father, we can pay for everything. But child of God, I want to teach people not just to look to a human father or human leaders. Friends, I'm wanting to look to the true Father, the Heavenly Father, the Almighty God. You see? So I said to Brad and Sharissa, we will cover the commitments from Johannesburg through to Kigali, Rwanda. But from Rwanda to Burundi, you must cover the costs yourself. You must trust God for yourself. So I remember Brad looking at me and saying, shh. So they're looking at their money. Do you understand? I mean, look at, if you and I look at our money, friends, and God's asking us to do certain things, come on. I mean, many of us, if I'm looking at all of us, including me, 99% of us, impossible. Impossible. So Brad said, I'm going to do this. So I said to Brad, there's no worries. I want you to go find out. I want you to go and spend some time with Jesus. And I want you to find out from me, does Jesus want you to go to Burundi? So he replied to me and he said, it's okay, put his moving there because of just the sun. It's not because she's going to go and sleep there, you know. So I said to Brad, I said, Brad, go and spend some time with Jesus and find out, does he want you to go on the trip? So he sent me a message, Tracy, and he said, yeah, God wants to. That's all I wanted to hear. I said, that's fantastic, that's it. You got to believe me, boy. A couple of weeks after that, he sends me a message. He says, man, you can't believe. He says, you won't believe it. Someone put into my account anonymously the exact amount that we needed from Kigali to Bujumbura. Yes, Jesus. I was telling someone, because today in this meeting, there was a guy I had not seen for a very tall guy. His name is called Grant Holland. We knew this guy when he was like this. He was part of our youth group. Dawn was praying for the kids for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That guy got baptized in the Holy Spirit. I've not seen this guy for absolute years, so the memory is going back. And I'm telling him about this building that we're in here. So, sorry. I'm going to tell you, I was going to tell you a story, but should I tell you the story or shouldn't I? You want to hear the story? So let me tell you first, before this building, that building next door, the smaller building, that was the first phase, where the children meet was the first phase before this came. So we were there, and we were struggling as a church, because remember I said to you, Jesus told us, I want you to trust me for the finances, no bonds, no overdraft, nothing. So we always had to trust him, but there were commitments. So we're trusting God, we're praying to Jesus, you know what I mean? We're going to him. And one of the prayers, I can't remember who prayed it, said, Lord, you can even bring a Porsche. Someone can drive in here with a Porsche and, you know, give us some money. You know, just someone prayed like it. You've got to believe me, child of God. If you think I'm kidding, I'm telling you a true story. I saw it with my own two eyes. In comes, friends, a Porsche comes into the property, and it's his brother, not the same day. It was a few days or maybe a few weeks afterwards. His brother comes in, friends. He's a business guy. He hits into some jackpot. Well, I'm saying jackpot, not lottery. You know what I mean? He just scored big time in business, you know? He comes and he says, Manny, can I see you? He takes me into the little office at the back there. I'm sitting down. He brings out, in those days, friends, and it was not too much EFTs, you know. He opens up this check here, tells me, who can I make this check out to? I tell him, Ebenezer Christian Fellowship. I thought my eyes were deceiving me. I saw all these notes. It was 90,000 rand. You know, 90,000 rand that time, friends, was like, let me say, like a 900,000 rand. Now, I was telling you about this building. When Jesus told us to go ahead with this building, do you know how much was in the building fund? 4,000 rand, boy. 4,000 rand. Don't ever do this. You've got to hear God's voice. 4,000 rand, and he says, go ahead with this building. I had one of our financial, I've shared the story. One of our financial guys says, I'm out of here. This is crazy. This is ludicrous. This is stupid. He's out. He moved out of the church. But God said, friends, it took 6 years, but God provided, you know. And the little boy. So is this cup empty? You know, I've got a little tin. One day I'll bring this, my little tin. I've got this little tin. It's got a little handle. It's got a little slot there, like a piggy bank, a little slot. This little tin. And we were in other facilities. We were not in the buildings like this. We had many different facilities. And after the one Sunday morning, this little boy, he's about seven, 8 years of age, knocks on my car window. I'm going. I've got the trailer with all the sound equipment. Really, we used to pack everything in those days. This little boy says, Uncle Manny, this is for the building fund. And he goes. As I put this down, tears come to my eyes. I feel the Holy Spirit saying, I'm going to provide for the building. So I'm driving. And I'm thinking, what's inside the tin? I'm trying to keep focus, you know. And at one of the stop streets, I opened up the lid. Because initially, before I opened up the lid, the tin was heavy. I thought maybe this kid had rich grandparents and there was lots of Kruger Rands inside there, you know. But in any case, when I stopped at the robot, I opened up. You've got to believe me, there was just coppers. Cents, 2 cent pieces and 5 cent pieces. There were no silvers inside that. I put the lid on. One of our elders called Franco Siano, who now leads a church. He was going to do the banking. I said, Franco, will you do the banking? Tell me how much is from this tin. And I'd also like the tin back. He phones me Monday afternoon. He says, Manny, in the tin was 7 rand and 68 cents. I'm sitting at my study desk. The tears are flowing. I'm going through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the account of the little boy with 5 loaves and 2 fish. Especially the one story where God says to Philip, he said, he tested Philip to find out what was inside of his heart, because it says Jesus already knew what he was going to do. So I asked Franca, could I have the tin back? When I got the tin back, child of God, you got to believe me, I've got the tin. I'll show you. It's got a little poem on the tin. It says, sun fun and goodies to munch. What a perfect day for a picnic lunch. Just after this boy gives me this little thing here. The next, in that week, friends, at that stage, a business guy gives me a check for 100,000 rand. Now let me tell you about this building. This building was completed. When it was finished, friends, the projects manager worked out, friends. Remember, it started with 4,000 rand. When it was finished, the total amount of this building, they say, friends, was 7,680,000 rand. 7 rand, 68 cents. Some little boy, child of God, sowed seed. I was talking, you know, after this morning, there's a business person who says, man, it's so true. Never eat your seed. You sow your seed. I don't care how poor, how rich we are, friends. Friends, constantly continue. It's the secret and the key for our lives. You might say, but I don't have much. Sow seed, child of God. Because each and every one of us are trusting for something, friends. But you and I will never receive if you and I never sow. That's faith, friends. You've got to break fear of that. Friend, because God wants to provide all of our needs according to His riches in glory in the Lord Jesus Christ. Every one of us have needs. Every one of us have commitments. Some of us are trusting for marriages, for homes, whatever the case may be. This and that and all the rest of it. God is no man's debtor, child of God. Believe God. But believe the principles of God. Believe His word, friends. You know, the ways of God are so different from our ways, child of God. When there was the feeding of the 20,000 people, all Jesus wanted was the little boy with his five little loaves and his two little fish. Someone sowed something so small. I had a statement I didn't read this morning. But if you and I sow nothing, child of God, if you and I sow nothing, you and I are going to have a season of nothing. Do you understand what I'm saying? If you're never sowing anything, you're going to have nothing, child of God. Because no one, child of God, no one can just expect some harvest if you've not sown some seeds. I said this morning, friends, we work with the poorest of the poor. But I've seen God breaking things. Let Him break that spirit of poverty over us. That fear, friends, of not having enough. But always honor God, child of God. That's another thing. Always honor God. Live according to what God says. I'm getting carried away here. Where was I? I was talking about number two. We need to repent of our fears. Hey, I'm talking about a whole lot of fears here. The fear of the past, fear of the future, fear of man, fear of the unknown. What about fear of suffering? Fear of sickness. Fear of not having enough. Fear of death. Fear of the devil. You can make your own list. Number three, we need to recognize the fears in our own hearts. That's just what I was talking about now. The fears of in our own hearts. I remember, you know, when I've got a little story here, but I won't tell you where it was. There was a time when we, my wife and I and our kids were away somewhere. And child of God, in the home that we were at, what actually happened, my wife, Dawn, was reading a book. Our daughter, Jane and Bonnie, were also reading. Tiffany was fast asleep. And I was just doing something. And we heard a noise in the house. And Dawn thought Tiffany had fallen out the bed. And as she goes down the passage, friends, there's a guy with a gun in the room, boy. I'm telling you, Dawn and the kids shot under the bed, the dining room bed. I stood in the passage. I'll never forget that day, boy. And I screamed from the top of my voice. I just said, Jesus, save us. And the guy, he was shooting, but not shooting at me. He was in the room. I was in the passage. And he shot from the room into the corridor. I even heard his voice saying, stop shouting. This is the thief talking to Manny. He says, stop shouting. You know what I mean? And I said, we've got Christians. We're Christians. We've got nothing. But in any case, so that happened. Now, what? There was something inside of us. Either we as a family were going to go, because we needed our holiday. We needed this break. Child of God. And the first tendency, the fear factor comes, friends, was us to go home, pack our bags, and just to leave. But we looked to Jesus. And we felt the Lord saying, stay. Yo, My daughter, my middle daughter, boy, she got to bed at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, friends. She didn't want to get up. That night, she was so... That was just the reality. But in any case, and this scripture came to me, which was so powerful during that time, and I'll share it with you. Psalm 56, verse 3 and 4, and it's a psalm of David. And I want to tell you something. As I read this, friends, David wrote this because he was also one who got afraid. The word afraid or fear. He says, but when I was afraid... Didn't say when I've never had fear. When I was afraid, now look at what happens here. I put my trust in you. Oh God, I praise your word. I trust in God, so why should I be afraid? What can mere mortals do to me? Number four, we need to reach out to God. We need to reach out to God. Psalm 34 verse 4 says, you deliver me from all of my fears. I prayed to the Lord and He answered me, freeing me from all of my fears. Number five, let God renew your mind. Friends, this is the power. The mind, child of God, through the word, through the reading of scripture, let the word of God renew this mind. There's such a battlefield inside of you. Joshua chapter 1 verse 1, and I said it earlier on, be strong and courageous is mentioned five times. Moses has moved off the scene. Moses has died. And now Josh is going to lead these children. And five times God says, be strong and courageous. Yo, when even God called me to lead a church, oh man, I was so reluctant. I felt so overwhelmed by the responsibility. In my Christian life, child of God is leading a church there many times. I want to be honest with you. I said, Jesus, I'm not cut out for this. I said to you, even there were times in my Christian life, I even said to the Lord, Lord, I want you to take me home. I just don't want to face another day. I look back at what Jesus has done. It's absolutely incredible. I am. I can say to about, like Paul said, I am what I am, but for the grace of God. You know? Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. There are going to be challenges for each and every one of us. But go through those open doors. Don't let fear grip you and I at all. You know? I hope this is helpful for you. Number five is, that's number five, let God renew our minds. I need to move on. You and I have got to learn to wash our fears away with God's word. Number six is, let us replace our fearful thoughts with what God said about us. I love that statement. I'm going to repeat. Let us replace our fearful thoughts with what God says about us. You know, I've got a beautiful name. I know each one of you guys, you know me as Manny. But on my birth certificate or my ID or my passport, it's not Manny. Manny's short for a name. It's called Emmanuel. I-M-A-N-U-E-L. What does Emmanuel mean? It means God is with us. Like my friend Mapia, one of the groups we go into to the Congo. I'm not taking a group, but one of the groups that's going to the Congo. This guy with 10 kids of his own planted 77 churches from 1998 to where we are now. And I remember once we were sitting down together and we were talking about, Mapia, tell us some of your story. Mapia is a business guy. He was a school teacher. Very, very lovely guy. He didn't want to be in ministry, but God wanted him, calling him to go to ministry. He avoided it. He says, I'm a businessman. So he tries business and everything goes south. Not working well. God's allowing things to happen. So then he gives in. He says, okay, Lord, you want me to serve you? With what? He says, I've got kids. That there's school fees. There's education. There's this and that. Food. Wada, wada. He says, what? And God said to him, I'll be with you. Anything else? God, I will be with you. I will be with you. When he shared that story with us, there were four guys from South Africa around that table. I'm telling you, I'm in tears because I got the message, friends. It wasn't just, that's why I said, it mustn't just be information. I am with you. Child of God, when it becomes a revelation, if He is with you, that's all you need. You've got everything, child of God. I am with you. I am with you. I am with you. When God called Moses to go and be the deliverer of the children of Israel, He said to him, I will be with you. Child of God, I will be with you. And that's an amazing thing, you know. Judges chapter 6 verse 12, when God said to Gideon, you mighty hero, the Lord is with you. And so, child of God, it's very important that you and I have the promises of God. Because the doubts will come, the fears will come, and you and I must constantly, continuously replace those fears, friends with what God Himself says about us. That's why the Scriptures are so powerful. I cannot tell you. I've told you before how I go through my reading plan. There have been times, friends, whatever the case may be, there's something about the Word of God. The reading plan helps me to stay in the Word of the Lord on a daily basis. I want to hear His voice. Because fear there will be. The enemies, He says, you're good for nothing, you're useless, this and that and all the rest of it, you know. But learn to take God at His Word. And the scripture I read earlier on, what I quoted, was Romans chapter 8, verse 15, where it says this: you should not be like a cowering, fearful slave. You should behave instead like God's very own sons and daughters of God, adopted into His family, calling Him Father, dear Father. And number 7, friends, rest in the presence of God. Rest in the presence of God. Rest in the presence of God. I don't know if you've ever, you know, I want to encourage you to try and get this, but I've blown it up like this. It's a passage. What does Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through to 30 say from the NIV translation? Has anyone got an NIV yet, or one of those? Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through to verse 30. What does that say? Has anyone got that for me? Matthew? Faye, have you got it there? Now, Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through to verse 30. Would you read that for me, please, Faye? No, Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through to verse 30. Matthew chapter, that's the one. Beautiful. Now from the Message translation, I'm going to read to you the Message translation. I've got a little heading that's taken from this translation. The Unforced Rhythms of Grace. It says this: are you tired? Are you worn out, burnt out on religion? Come to me, get away with me, and you will recover your life. I will show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me. Work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you will learn to live freely and lightly. That's what it says. But the statements, these five statements, come to me, get away with me, walk with me, work with me, keep company with me. When you and I walk with Jesus, keep company with Him, learn from Him, child of God, He just, all of our fears just seem to just disappear. I love this, the statement of 1 John chapter 4, verse 18. It says, perfect love drives away all of our fears. And I want to come to an end. I want to pray for you guys, but I want to end with this little bit here about when I had this operation in the year 2011. I'll never forget it. And in my devotions, as I'm reading this, I'm going under heart surgery. They're going to cut me open. I'm telling you, I'm just being real with you. I was afraid, boy. I am fearful and afraid. But I read this scripture from Acts chapter 2, verse 25, and I shared this also with Hilton and Reza. You know them. What's Reza's mom's name again? Jolinda. I remember I shared the same scripture with her, and God said this to me, and I shared this with her. Well, I gave it to Hilton and Reza, and they shared it with her during this time. It says, I know the Lord is always with me. Can I enforce that? I know the Lord is sometimes with me. I know the Lord is maybe with me. What does it say there? I know the Lord is always with me. I will not be shaken. I am not going to be shaken by fear, for He is right beside me. Isaiah 41, verse 13 and 14 says, I am holding you by your right hand, I, the Lord your God, and I say to you, do not be afraid. I am here to help you. Despised though you are, O Israel, don't be afraid, for I will help you. I am the Lord your Redeemer. I am the Holy One of Israel. Did you know, it is said, friends, that in the Bible, the word fear not is mentioned how many times? 365 times the word fear not is mentioned in the Bible. Please help me. How many days in the year? 365. Do you know the word I am with you? How many times is that mentioned in the Bible? 365 times. For every one of fear not, God says, I am with you. I mean, that's the God of the universe. That's why as you get to know Him, as you and I grow in our revelation of Him, to know that the Holy Spirit's inside of you, I tell you something, it just replaces all those negativities, all those thoughts of fear, those senses of insecurity, what the enemy bombards us with. It just counteracts all that. You know, God alone knows our heart. God alone, and when I say our heart, that includes many here. But I want to pray a prayer for every one of us. I want to ask the precious Holy Spirit. You know, David prayed a prayer and he said this. He said, Lord, search me and know my heart. And see if there be any wicked way in me and lead me in that way of everlasting life. I said something about that fear is sinful. It's trying to put God and the devil in the same team. You know? And God wants us to trust Him. You know, when there's fear, it's you and I are not trusting Him. It's a sin against Almighty God. So I want to ask God for us, including myself, that God will come in by the power of the blood and wash away all of our fears, you know, all of our fears. That's why I tried you to list some. Maybe the fear of the past, maybe something's happened, maybe the fear of the future, maybe not having enough, maybe suffering, maybe of death. I don't know what it may be, child of God. But there must be no fear within us except the fear, the reverence and the awe and respect of Almighty God. I'm wanting God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, to put the axe, as it were, to the roots and to cut off from the root system, not just the symptoms, friend, from the roots, you know, this spirit of fear that's gripped so many people. You know, we don't want to go through this open door. God has opened up a wide door. Please, child of God, this is a prophetic word for you and I. I've opened up a wide door for you, you know, and, you know, the tendency is He's trying to say to us, go through it. Some of you are faced with decisions, you know, and don't be afraid. Trust Him. He's with you. You can go through that door. You can take those steps. He walks with you. Though you even go through, it seems like the valley of the shadow of death. He says, I will be with you. You know, you need not fear anything, child of God. It goes for all of us, you know. I've got another year coming. I've got some trips coming. I never go on these trips ever assuming and presuming everything. There's this tendency also. I'm going to new areas, new churches. You know, but I want to trust Jesus. We as a family got to trust the Lord. You've got to trust the Lord. You know? But Father, right now in the name of Jesus, by the power of the Holy Spirit, I'm asking for each one of us, Lord God, even under our breath, even quietly where we are, we ask you to forgive us of our fears. Forgive us where we have not trusted you, Lord. Forgive us, Lord, when you have presented to us, like the picture we gave, a promised land. But then, Lord, all the questions, but, Lord, the city, but the giants, but this. Lord, I seem like a little grasshopper. Lord, I pray that we will not talk like that. We will talk, Lord God Almighty, who we are in Christ. As we know you, Lord God, we get to know who we are in you. We are not just ordinary people. We are extraordinary people doing extraordinary things for Him. You might say to me, Manny, but I feel so weak. Yes, I know I feel like that too. But you know what, Lord God, friends, He takes the weak things to shame the wise. The choices of God, friends, you know, on the human level, people would not have chosen the people that God chose. But He chose them. Because, child of God, He never wants you and I to get a place where we are so proud and so secure in ourselves. Our security is in Him and Him alone. There's a sense of dependency upon Him. You are clothed with Christ. I want to tell you something, child of God. You are an ambassador of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a beautiful statement that someone said, friends. I've written this in my heart. I'm going to quote it to you. He says, our position on earth, our position, each and every one of us, our position on earth is that of ambassadors representing heaven's government. We have no authority to act on our own. But as long as we carefully obey the directions from our heavenly government, the entire might and authority of heaven are behind every word that we speak and every move that we make. You're a son and a daughter of the living God. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Go through those doors. Child of God, that's why we make sure, friends, we've heard from God. Trust Him. Trust Him. Father, I thank You that all forms of fear, even within our mindsets, a stronghold, will be broken and snuffed out and will be destroyed right now in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank You for the power of the blood that moves over us and washes away all of our fears. That spirit of fear that grips us, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Bible says, we rebuke you. The Bible says we submit ourselves to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. In the name of Jesus, our lives are submitted to King Jesus. We resist you, spirit of fear. We resist you, spirit of fear. Be gone in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, I thank You, Lord God, for Your presence. I thank You, Lord God Almighty, that Your children just move in an aspect of faith. They see themselves as You see them. Lord, their words, their languages, they talk differently. Their behavior is different. Father, I thank You, Lord God, in the name of Jesus Christ. I thank You in the name of Jesus. I thank You in the name of Jesus. Lord, we worship You. We worship You. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. I've set before You an open door, and no man will shut that door. Continue to pursue the dream, the desire. God is placing desires in your heart. God is, for some of you, God is he's making some certain adjustments to your life. Some of you, there's a change of jobs, something of a relocation, changing from, there's a sense of change. Change is something that always comes. We can't stop change. But don't be afraid of change. Don't just stay in the safe zone. God takes us to another level. He moves us on, you know, to another level of maturity, another level of growth, another level of service. Father, I thank You for it. You know our capacities in this room, including myself. You know our capacities. You're not going to give us too much at once for God. You give it to us little by little by little by little. Help us to be trustworthy. Help us to be faithful in the little things that You give to us. Father, I thank You in the name of Jesus. And Lord, as I close, I thank You that we are a people who fear God. What a blessing, Father God. The man and the woman who fears God, the Bible says the angel of the Lord encamps around them. The person who fears God, the Bible says they will lack no good thing. Father, I thank You in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen and amen.